And that's it for Counterspin this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
What's going on, KZFR listeners? It's time for another one of your Chico State Wildcat wrap-ups. Once again, it's your host with the most, DJ J Pounds, bringing you everything Chico State Wildcat athletic related. With that being said, let's get to it. In men's golf news, the Wildcats will be competing today at the NCAA D2 South and Southeast Regional Championship, where the number 2 ranked Cats will be a part of an extremely competitive field with 5 top 10 teams and 8 ranked in the top 20 nationwide. In women's golf news, the Lady Wildcats had a fair showing, placing 5th in the Lady Rattler Invitational, besting 4 schools ranked in the national top 40. Look for the Lady Wildcats to be back in action March 6th and 7th in Vallejo, California, as a part of the Cal State East Bay Tim Tierney Shootout. In softball news, over the weekend, the Lady Wildcats managed to win 3 out of 4 games against number 17 in the nation, UC San Diego, bringing their record to 10-6 for the season. Hopefully, the Lady Wildcats can build on this momentum into further success for the rest of the season. Over the weekend, the Wildcats had a subpar weekend, splitting a 4-game series with CSU Monterey Bay, bringing their record to 12-4 for the season. Hopefully, the Wildcats can get back on track next week against Cal State East Bay as they sharpen their claws for a long season ahead. In women's basketball news, the Lady Wildcats dropped their last 2 games of the season, losing the first game on Thursday against Cal State University Dominguez Hills 49-69, and also losing the next game Saturday against Cal State University Los Angeles 61-83, bringing the Lady Wildcats' record to 10-16 for the season, missing the playoffs. In men's basketball news, the Wildcats split their last 2 games of the season, winning their first game on the 25th, 64-57 against Cal State University Dominguez Hills, and losing their second game on the 27th against CSU LA and a nail biter 64-65, bringing their record to 22-5 for the season, guaranteeing them a share of the CCAA title. This Tuesday, March 1st, the Wildcats look to avenge their last loss against Cal State University Los Angeles in their home playoff game at Chico State. All right, KZFR listeners, that's all I got for you this week. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, I'm your host, DJ J Pounds, and thank you for listening to the People's Power Radio Station, 90.1 FM, KZFR, Chico.
Thank you, Jordan, for the Chico State Weekly Wrap. Let's start, say hey right now. How does that sound, boys?
Sounds good.
All right, let's get into it.
Temperature's rising. Fever is high. Can't see no future.
And Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Buffalo Wild Wings, featuring 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight and beyond. More information at buffalowildwings.com. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Yeah.
Perfect segue into a sports show. Hey, guys, what's up?
Hello. So Jake's out.
That he is.
Fortunately, his better half, Noobs, is here.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Noobs in the building, Derek Isamaki in the building.
What's
of course,
up, guys?
Jarrell Gilbert filling in for Jake. So let's get right into it. Obviously, crazy weekend. Well, one crazy game in particular.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess let's not waste any time. We're talking, of course, about the Golden State Warriors versus Oklahoma City game in OKC. It was the feature game on ABC. And in case you missed it, Steph had another ridiculous game. And let's hear some sound from that real quick, and we'll discuss. Okay, let's not hear some sound.
Okay.
It doesn't
that was
seem
great.
To
yeah.
Good,
well said.
Yeah, thank you. I've been prepping for this all day.
I mean, that's how good of a performance it was. You just can't say anything about
right,
it. Really.
There's nothing to be
it
said.
Was, yeah,
unfortunately,
exactly.
We're going to have to pour something new.
That actually worked out better.
Yeah.
No, but okay, so to catch you guys up, basically the soundbite was of Steph bringing the ball up as time was winding down and hitting a 32-foot jumper, I think it was officially.
Something like that, yeah.
Called a 32-foot three to essentially win the game.
The dagger.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And what was quite possibly such an entertaining game.
Yeah, there was multiple times where I thought, okay, well, you know, I think it was at the end of regulation, the Warriors were down 4 or something like that with like 16 seconds, something crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, this is over. You know, we get them back home. You know, the Warriors will be fine. We get them next week.
I mean, you guys have a couple of losses you can have before they can, you know, to get to that mark. I mean, 72-10, that's the mark. So you can get 10 losses. So I was like, yeah, it's probably one of those 10 that's going to happen for them or less. That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah. And you got to think, too, this is like a psychological damaging blow for OKC. You know what I mean? Because let's be real. There's like 3 teams from the West that can win. You know, San Antonio, Golden State, and maybe Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. All due respect to the Clippers. Okay, but there's basically 3 teams that have that kind of championship pedigree. Oklahoma City's been in the finals.
Yeah.
They've got 2 of the top 5 players in the league, maybe, arguably. You know what I mean? But they just can't seem to beat Golden State. And to have them down, what, like 7 or 9 points in the fourth quarter at home, and then Steph just does what Steph does, and you think to yourself, man, they might be in their heads a little bit thinking, we cannot beat these guys. You know what I mean? And come playoff time in April, May, whenever they meet up, which right now would look like maybe, you know, the Western Conference semifinals, or maybe finals, because Oklahoma City would probably have to get past San Antonio first, which would be a gauntlet in itself. But, it's just like Golden State, man. They're in everybody's heads because you get them down. If you're lucky enough to get them down, you can't keep them down.
Yeah, and this has kind of been, I think it was, like you said, a bit of a confidence crusher for OKC to play that well, to be at home. And you guys both watched the game, yeah?
I watched the end of it in the casino, yeah.
Okay. So,
full disclosure.
With blurred vision, you got to see the end. No, so one thing that was blatantly obvious is that Golden State seemed to just be off their game. They struggled to find any offensive rhythm in the first half. And I had the stat up. I just, of course, closed out of it, and it's gone. But I think they're out-rebounded 60-something to 30-something. It was something ridiculous.
Right.
So
OKC
did just about everything you need to do to put the Warriors away. And
except cover Steph.
Yeah,
there is no cover.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the problem. You can't figure out that
like,
coverage.
Even
that
if
no one
you're,
has.
Even if you're right in his face, his release is so quick that it's just like you can't block his shot.
I mean, he was the only one up until like right before overtime had hit the 3 for the team. Like no one else was hitting 3s, so like that was a problem. Like from the get go, no one else was
on. Yeah,
no one else was on. Steph was really the one that single handedly kept them in that game for the potential for Andre Iggy to have those.
Yeah, right.
And Clay hit a big shot late too.
And one.
Yes.
So. I mean.
And bad job on Durant fouling at the end of the game,
too. What was that?
I mean, he played kind of like he had sort of a meltdown.
I mean, he threw the ball away.
He caused the turnover.
Yep.
And he fouls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just... No one's talking about that, really, whatsoever.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, because he's like an MVP-caliber player. Maybe not this year, but just every year. Durant's top 3 guy in the
league. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so for him to do that, it's like, man, you know? You figure those are kind of mistakes you make in your first 2 or 3 years in the league.
He should figure it out by now.
He should know better than to throw the ball like wildly at half court when you can just call a timeout or something. And anyway, but yeah, I the more I see out of Golden State, it's like it's just harder for me to wrap my head around a scenario where they're going to lose.
Right. I mean, I was just... This is a perfect barbershop conversation, and I was at the barbershop today, and we were having this conversation because it's something we've never seen before. The way they're playing, the way this team's playing, the way they're winning. And so, you know, how do you stop them? And some of the theories is, oh, you got to beat them up. Well, people have been hanging all over Steph Curry. I mean, watch any Golden State versus Clippers game. I mean, Chris Paul is holding Steph the entire game, and it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, yeah. Chris Paul in any one of those matchups can foul out in the first quarter if the refs wanted to blow the whistle every time. You know, so we've never seen a player like this that you literally have to guard because they have range to the half-court line.
Yeah.
So you pretty much have to go three-quarters court with them.
Yeah.
At this point in time, just because
if he's pulling up from 32, like it's nothing.
You have to like make him dish it out. You can't have him. Somehow he can't have a clean walk up the court anymore.
And one thing that we saw a lot of, and to other or the opposing team have some success doing last year, was in the finals we saw Cleveland do it, and a couple games Memphis beat the Warriors, where they would trap Curry. Whenever Curry would get the ball up top, they would trap him and force someone else to beat him. And at the time, as great of a passer as Steph was, he was really struggling with turnovers, and they were just getting the Warriors out of their rhythm. What I've noticed this year, the Clippers have tried to do it in a game. The Cavs did it Christmas Day, and a couple other teams have tried to do it as well. I know the Pacers stick out particularly, but they've tried to trap him, and his passing has gotten so much better, and his decision-making has gotten so much better. And the problem is that there isn't a huge liability on the court with them.
No.
So you can't really leave almost anyone. No. I mean, so Steph's getting the ball out of his hands, and then they're getting a dunk or a layup. And so I don't know what you do with that.
Yeah, and even Popovich just came out and said that. He basically said they were unsolvable.
Right.
And maybe he was just, you know, maybe that's gamesmanship on his part. He's trying to give them a false sense of security, like, oh, woe is us. Mm-hmm. But if Pop is coming out saying that, and if he really believes that, which I think he does, then watch out, because Popovich is probably the best coach we've had in the last 20 years.
Easy.
And so if he comes out and his team is on pace to have one of the best seasons ever too, you know, I mean, they're not going to eclipse the Bulls like I think Golden State will, but San Antonio is having a heck of a season,
right?
Not really
franchise
getting
best start.
I mean, unbelievable, right? Yeah. Considering that this is a franchise that's gone won five finals and basically wins 50 games, you know,
every
just
year
rolls out of bed and wins 50 games. You know what I mean? So it's like if they're having one of their best years ever and they're still can't catch Golden State, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a great Western Conference Finals. You know, save for some kind of OKC upset. But, man, I just think, like you said, you know, it's just they're unguardable because when Steph does get trapped, gets the ball out of his hands, everybody else is such a good distributor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Draymond Green last night, granted, didn't have much point. 2-14-14, I believe, was his line. But, like I said, anyone on that team has the ability to find the open man or make the open shot.
Totally. Yeah, they have so many creators, and that's really rare. Usually you have one or two on the floor that can create shots for other players. But, I mean, even Bogut, he is one of the best, if not the best, passing big in the league. He reminds me a lot of Vlade Divac. Not quite as fancy all the time, but he reminds
me... Not as big of a flopper either.
Yeah. But the skill set's similar.
He's Australian, totally. You know? What else do you expect from him?
Yeah.
And so, it's like I said, where do you double? Where do you...
You can't.
Right.
You really can't, because like you just said, I mean, passing is contagious.
Yep.
And once everybody starts doing it and feeling good about it, and that unselfish nature kind of just like starts building and building and building, and everybody just knows how unstoppable they can be if they're all playing ball the right way, and they're playing the right way. You know what I mean? And I don't know about you guys, but I think they're going to get to 73 wins.
Yeah. I really do believe that too, especially with having gotten this OKC win. This really just kind of further pushed it along that even the games we think we can lose and we probably could lose, we're not going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, the one thing, you wonder how that that pressure, because as these games get close and they get closer and closer to the record, you know, the media is going to be like it was at the beginning of the season. It's going to be kind of like the Heat a few years back when they were on that record pace. And they were, I think they won 27 in a row. And, you know, every game felt like a playoff game, even, you know, to teams that were far, you know, inferior would come out with their best stuff. And you were seeing a little bit, well, you see that pretty much every night against the Warriors. But, you know, you just wonder how that playoff atmosphere, you know, a month before the season ends, if that'll drain them. And I mean, I'm just looking for excuses for a possible exit, early exit for the Warriors. And it's just, it's with each game, it seems to be getting harder and harder to, like you said.
Yeah, there's no chink in the armor.
Right.
At all.
Right.
No one's found one yet, at least.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, I mean, and maybe somebody will. I just, you know, they're going to get home court most likely. What's San Antonio, like 3.5 games
back? 3.5, I think.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to catch them. I mean, there's like 20-something games to go. Maybe a little less at this point. I haven't looked at the schedule recently. But, you know, it's around 20 games. Mm-hmm. But, they just don't lose at home. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in a 7-game series, when they've got home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs, like somebody's going to have to go in to Oracle, get a win, and also win all 3 of their games at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And Golden State's obviously incredible on the road, too. You know?
Yeah, you don't get to where they're at right now.
I think the earlier in the season, or before the season, I said to Jake, I was like, man, I think they're actually going to like regress a little bit, and I was so wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before plenty of times. But I was so wrong because I thought that they were going to get everybody's best shot.
Right.
You know, whether it's Charlotte or you, like anybody, the worst teams in the league, Philly's going to give them everything they got. And it just doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they're blowing the best teams out by 30 points. Everybody, San Antonio, Cleveland, OKC, they're crushing these teams.
Yeah.
It's really awesome to watch. I mean, I'm not a Golden State fan, but I just can't help watching it and loving it.
Yeah, we discussed that on the show a couple weeks ago about just how fun it was. I mean, Greg Popp came out and said how much fun he's having watching it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's just they're catching new fans everywhere. And it's, I mean, sure, they're winning, but they're just a fun style of basketball that's, I mean, the Showtime Lakers pretty much at this point, this era of Showtime for
us. Tons of Golden State gear being rocked in Tahoe
everywhere.
This week.
And not to mention, like, every away game they go to, half the crowd is for them at this point. It's kind of,
it's weird.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's weird.
Because you get used to that with, like, teams like the Yankees, the Lakers.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? And the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they travel. They're, you know, America's
they're everywhere.
Team or whatever. But, like, now Golden State's, like, getting all these, I don't want to say bandwagon necessarily. But
no, but they're getting a lot of bandwagon.
They're getting new fans. And they're getting, but newer kids to the game, too. Like, kids that are, you know, young kids are like Steph Curry is the hero now.
Yeah.
Not LeBron.
Right. Well, and, you know, I think Steph Curry's a lot easier to wrap your arms around his whole image. He's so cute and the whole, you know, family dynamic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and he's relatable and all those type of things. I mean, it's
and physically too. You could almost kind of imagine yourself, not me, but people can be like, that's more attainable than like LeBron. LeBron looks like a linebacker.
He's an absolute freak
6'9".
Of nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you, like so.
Steph looks like someone in my class.
Right.
He looks like a buddy in class.
I mean,
like,
Babyface Assassin is pretty much the perfect
nickname.
You know, you just don't expect him to be this,
Okay, I want to get off the Warriors here in a second. Do you guys make anything? I don't know if you heard the report, Noobs, but Draymond Green and Steve Kerr got into it in the locker room. Draymond Green was dropping all this profanity and this and that. Do you make anything of that? Is it a big deal, small deal, no deal? What do you think?
Well, I'm glad that you just brought that up because I wasn't sure of the actual specifics of it. All that I had heard was that there was like F-bombs being dropped in the locker room and you could hear it from like way down the hall. But I didn't know the specifics. I didn't know that the coach was involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say. I think when you're that successful, like you just want to be as successful as possible. And sometimes these things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a lot of emotions. Draymond's an emotional guy.
Right.
He's, you know, one of the spiritual leaders of this team. You know what I mean? He was a big part of what they did last year, a huge part of what they're doing this year. And, you know, Steve Kerr kind of, sort of diminutive. I could see him being kind of hands-off, more of a player's coach. You know what I mean? He's not going to get in too many people's faces. So as long as there's not like an actual power struggle going on, as long as everybody still respects the coaching staff, I'm sure they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like this happens.
Right.
Even with good teams that are kicking everybody's tail, this can happen because people get frustrated. And that just shows you how badly they want to win.
I mean, they still won that game.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't take
a regular season game against Oklahoma City lightly or anybody. The Bucks, it doesn't matter. Like they want to win every game. And so I'm sure that it's fine.
Steph came out after the game and said, you know, we got competitive dudes on the team, and that's just, you know, we responded. And in short, basically, some of what was said is the story goes Steve Kerr played a clip of a mistake Draymond made, pointed it out to the whole team. Draymond was not happy about it. He basically said, if you don't want me to shoot again in the game, I won't shoot, blah, blah, blah. And Steve Kerr said to him, you need to sit down. And he said, blankety blank, come make me sit down. And then they came out and they won the game. So, you know, I don't make, I mean, Steve Kerr, you know, for those who have been following real close, Steve Kerr and Draymond get into it all the time. I think this was brought to national attention because it happened, like I said, during the you know, premier game of the weekend on ABC, nationally televised, primetime game that everyone was watching. So, you know, of course, it's the first thing they're talking about on First Take, not Steph Curry draining the three or, you know, Kevin Durant playing poorly. It's, but we, you know, it's the end of February. Happy leap year, everyone. It's the end of February. There's just not much going on in sports right now.
Well, so also, any of these teams that are successful, like, you know, I see it with the Patriots all the time.
Right.
They're always trying to find, the media is always trying to find what's wrong with the team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so these things are going to get played up and, like, you know, just dissected over and over again. And we live in a 24-hour sports cycle where it's just, you know, someone's always looking for the sound bite. And, you know, I don't know. I really don't see it as a, as much of a problem. You know, I mean, it's like if they were in a tailspin right now, then maybe you'd wonder, like, if there's some real internal dissension.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Steve Kerr is the kind of personality that can deal with this, as opposed to maybe like more of an old school guy like George Karl. Like George Karl, like tends to have problems with his players.
Yeah,
he wants star players. Control.
And, he wants to have more control, and like it's more of like it's not so much of a democracy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's more of like a my way or the highway type of thing, and that rubs a lot of players, especially today's players, wrong. You know, you guys mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show. You know, you're talking about the whole get off my lawn mentality that older guys have, like Charles Barkley.
And
everything was better in their day. And I really thought about what you guys are talking about, and I was like, because I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, music was better in the 90s, and you know, and I've kind of wondered. I'm like, if you put the best players of then. Jordan, Ewing, Barkley, you know, against like the best players of today, like who would win? And I think the real question is, what would the officiating, what era would the officiating be from? Because if it was 96 officiating, I might give the nod to those guys because it was a more physical game.
Right.
Yeah. If you go back on ESPN Classic or YouTube and watch these Bulls-Knicks games,
they're slugfest.
They are literally slugging like elbows all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jordan's getting mugged.
Yeah. No one's driving down the lane free.
No, there's no easy buckets at all. Pistons, you know, like all those teams are, you know, I mean, literally like Laimbeer and Parrish throwing punches at each other and didn't get ejected. Parrish literally punched Bill Laimbeer in the face and didn't get ejected.
Did he even get a tech in that one?
I don't even
I think that
maybe
was the one when the refs kind of looked the other way.
Yeah, because like, they were like, everybody hates Bill Laimbeer, right? So, but you know, if
thank
you, had,
you for doing that. Right. Yes,
but I mean, like the way that the game's played today, you know, spreading the floor and how all the big men can step out and drain long distance shots too.
Right.
I just would have a hard time. Like, I would love to see the '96 Bulls play the 2016 Warriors.
Oh gosh!
Like, you know what
the
I mean?
Contrasting styles alone, would be amazing.
And two mega all-time superstars going at it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who actually play the same position?
Yeah,
that's the thing. That all there's all these like comparisons of this, and like LeBron doesn't play the same position as Steph.
Right.
LeBron can play whatever he wants. He can bring the ball, but he's really not a two.
Right.
He's more of a three, even a four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where like Steph and Jordan were both two guards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think it would just be incredibly epic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that kind of. Segues nicely. I don't love the greatest of all time talk just because
it's hard to do.
It's a moot point.
Different eras, because of the officiating and all the style of the game.
The eras
it's impossible
are
to
so
do.
Different, right? And you and I were just having this conversation, I believe, last night. Like, we don't even talk about that, but I do wonder when we transition from calling Steph the greatest shooter of all time to uttering that phrase, is he the greatest player of all time, or at least putting him in that category with some of the greats of all time, because it doesn't seem to happen quite yet, and I understand it's still he's just reaching his prime, but I wonder how is that a ludicrous thing to discuss? Is because of his frame, because of his size, and because he's changing the math, and he plays. His efficiency is a different efficiency than we've ever seen. You know, the way he plays the game is so much different than anything we've seen. So is it just taking the general audience and fans time to adjust? I just think it's interesting that people aren't coming out and saying, hey, you know, I think when it's all said and done, he might be one of the best of all time.
Right.
I think he's finally reaching into that realm right now. He's definitely crossed it into, especially with this season in particular, because it's like you said, when beginning you thought they're going to regress this year. They've exploded even further, and his season was better than it was last year, and we didn't think that was possible. He's hit more threes than he did last year when he broke the record, and he's still got, what, 24, 25 more games left? I mean, he just broke the record for, like, most consecutive games with a three, which I don't see him stopping for a very long time. Sure. Like, do you see him not making a three in a game anymore? No.
Yeah.
Like, his ability to hit a shot pretty much at any point in time when he's not even on, it's you just always expect it to go in. And with that mentality, you have to eventually think he's going to be that greatest shooter transcends into the greatest player because he was such a great scorer and he could do so much. He's a smart player. He is such an intelligent player out there with the ball. You just see the way he goes back and forth dribbling through the crowd and whatnot. It's it's awesome.
Breaking Chris Paul's ankles. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, that's fantastic.
And the way the game that it is played today, and considering he's playing that style the best out of anybody, mm-hmm. when it is all said and done, he is going to go down as one of the best players of this generation.
For sure.
The post Kobe generation, if you will. I mean, granted, there's all these overlap between, you know, Michael played it, you know, Kobe and Michael were on the same court. Kobe and LeBron were on the same court. Steph and LeBron. Like, there's overlap. But for, like, these past couple years and combined with, like, the next five or six, seven or eight, it's going to be Steph. And let me just say real quick, when I said regress or I thought they were going to regress, I didn't mean that they were going to, like, fall off the face of the earth or not make the finals. I just didn't see them winning 66 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know what I mean? Now they're going to win 73 or 74.
I mean, because that season, LeWhite was awesome.
Was
incredible. That was a great year.
Yeah.
Like, you thought maybe 60 wins would be what they'd be right around
because,
there.
Because, like, you know, everybody's going to, every night, going to give them their best shot, and you figure maybe guys are going to get hurt or rest or whatever, and they're just going to try and get a high seed. But I mean, what they're doing now is just
it's mind-blowing. And Noobs, when you said that, I remember listening, I was listening to that show, I was on the way into the station that night,
and you were shaking your head laughing at me calling
no
me
I wasn't I honestly thought that they would have a great season and they'd lock up the number one or two seed, but I didn't see this either. I didn't think necessarily they were going to take a huge step back. I thought they'd be right about where they were. But I mean, they are leaps and bounds better than they were last year. And you and I were just discussing this the other night. I think LeBron jumped ship a year too early. I think if he stayed with the Heat, you know, against a not battle-tested Warriors team last year, he could have got one more. But now I just don't see the Cavs or really anyone from the East having a shot here. And I just wanted to bring up this stat, and we can move on because the show's almost over and we've talked Warriors the whole time, even though we said we'll do it.
It's hard not to.
I know. But Steph Curry right now is shooting 68% from 25. No, what was it? No, it's 28 feet. 28 to 50 feet, he's shooting 68%. The best field goal percentage in the league is Hassan Whiteside at 69%, and most of his shots are 3 feet and in. So,
I mean, also, like, we also have to take in fact that there's a high quantity of those shots, and it's not like four or five shots
he's taken.
No, he's like, it's like, isn't
he's taken like 53 of them and he's made 36 of them.
That's ridiculous.
So the math's right around 67.5.
So like that,
it's not like 6 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know what I mean?
Actually taking those shots purposely, not like I'm trying to beat the clock. No.
Right. So I just don't know what you do. Real quick, Chico State men's hoops tomorrow night. I believe the game starts at 5:30. Wildcats are taking on Cal State LA, the Golden Eagles. Cats lost this past Saturday to Cal State LA at their place by a point, 64-65. This is a playoff game. The Cats are looking to go to the CCAA Tournament Championship for the fifth consecutive time. So let's go, Cats. Guys, go show up and support your local team. I know we got to get out of here, but Derek, I know you're burning to talk about soccer.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I really did. Just because it was pretty spectacular this past week, and I know not much soccer talk gets talked on the show, but I'm going to bring it up. For the name Marcus Rashford, a name you guys are probably marking your books, he's a Man United 18-year-old who just made his first big league appearance this past weekend, where he scored two goals in the UEFA Champions League. And then he went on to play his first Premier League game and scored two more goals. So two games, four goals. And he had a chemistry test today, which he said was harder than scoring two goals. So it's a little tidbit story for him, 18-year-old doing some big things out there. So soccer, it is a sport that a lot of people do like in this world. So I'm trying to bring that love here in Chico.
What country is he from?
He's from England. So it's England. Okay. Man United Premier League. So he's,
Say nice. Hey, you're home for...
hey, we cover it every once in a while. You know, it's not just FIFA corruption here, you know.
Even though that was a fun fun show. Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Digital Path, providing high-speed internet and telephone for homes and businesses throughout the North State. Specializing in rural and hard-to-reach areas, Digital Path is your locally owned option for internet with upgraded service plans and expanded coverage areas. Visit digitalpath.net or call toll-free at 1-800-676-PATH for more information. Guys, that was fun. Noobs, you'll be back next week, correct?
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys.